Well, we won. Or more accurately, the EGU lost. Again. Over in Sugrivik and Nabatin. Which, knowing the names of the Hutton truckers that are helping out, isn't really a surprise. The Paladin Consortium have been in touch with the EGU to offer the olive branch of peace. And suggest that for fear of the EGU becoming labelled as serial losers, at least in the war stakes, they might want to take up a new hobby. Something peaceful like crochet or yoga. However, whilst it appears that the EGU have retreated from Nabatean and Sugrivik, at least for the time being, spies have revealed their new plan, which comes with twirly moustaches and a not-so-subtle They've demanded reparation for the perceived slight of causing a war themselves which they lost and then losing it three times just to make sure, and demanded that the Paladin Consortium hand over all their systems, all their cash, and of course the keys to all their fleet carriers before the end of the week, or the EGU will lose yet more wards just to teach the Paladins a lesson. The outcome of which? An outbreak of smuggling, mission failures, and crime in yet more Paladin Consortium systems. Hutton are, of course, on hand to help should the Corps go out again, but are said to be rather impressed with the ability of the EGU to repeatedly attempt something totally pointless, as that's usually reserved for pilots hauling scrap to Hutton in an attempt to get more mugs made.
In attempts to prevent too much paperwork landing on their office desks over the weekend, and instead give them most of a week to prepare the checks for rewards, commission engineers to design and manufacture enough custom knickknacks for the ships of the top 75% of contributors, and of course, to give board pilots plenty to do whilst they design the latest shipboard updates, the Pilots Federation have been tinkering somewhat. Since the advent of fleet carriers, it appears that thanks to the lucrative art of mining and the large payouts afforded to long-range explorers for copies of their maps and holiday snaps from the fun things they find, every man-jack of a pilot in the universe, except Flossie, has a fleet carrier. And when it comes to trade community goals, having a floating warehouse parked right next to the destination, or in the case of the Hanky Clone Army, 8 of the ruddy things, previous community efforts were woefully unprepared for the speed with which commanders could race through the tiers and get their hands on the booty. So, the Pilots Federation employed one of Hutton's accountants to set the levels for the most recent goal. The levels were set at some, more, quite a bit, loads, and ready everything, for which the gap between the last two was a void not unlike the distance from Sol to Beagle Point. This cunning plan resembled nothing more than one of those build a 1/100th scale model of an anaconda by buying one magazine a month for 12 months, without telling you that the first 11 months contained the parts for the seats and cost 1 credit each, and the 12th copy came via forklift, 400-page construction manual written in Swedish and cost around 200,000 credits. Commander Flossie will be bringing us up to speed as to whether the tiers caused tiers or commanders tore through the tiers without tiers to top the table and claim their top-tier titles. Of course, it helps that the CG originators were offering to name a station after the top-tier top commander. But they appear to be reserving the right to reject the really naughtiest of names.
Further to a previous article about community goals, and in anticipation of Flossie's exciting updates later in the show, there were reports coming in this week that the Brewer Corporation managed to mix up their magic label maker machine on board fleet carriers, which led to some confusion during recent community goals. Commanders loading up with commodities to go to McDonald's bought what they thought were the repair parts for the milkshake machine, as requested for the community goal. But on going to sell the items at destination, were told that what they bought were squirty nozzles, refrigeration units, and thick oozy liquid pumps, were in fact a collection of hod carriers, wheelbarrows, and cement mixers instead. Other commanders have reported cracking open a canister or two and finding tents, sleeping bags and emergency rations. An investigation has revealed that despite the commanders paying for the correct items from the fleet carrier and being delivered of said items in canisters that clearly said the words thermal cooling units on the side, the canisters contained utterly the wrong things. Whether an accidental labelling issue or the kind of dastardly dudley do-wrong deed commensurate with some daylight robbery and a bit of skullduggery of the piratical kind, it appears that someone, somewhere, has made off with all the thermal cooling units from those shipments and is probably turning purple, attempting to suck thick milkshake through a paper straw right at this moment. Luckily, the pirates, or maybe the mad mislabelers, were limited to only a small selection of fleet carriers, and we understand that many, many, many successful deliveries were made. Well, of course, for those commanders who like doing their community goals the old-fashioned way, standard stations appear wholly unaffected, but then again, without a fleet carrier, so would their personal total be.
History has been full of dire portents of doom, from ancient Mayan temple inscriptions to holy books and the predictions of Nostradamus. And to date, they very rarely come true. This unbroken line of abject failure to deliver galactic destruction, the heat death of the sun, the apocalypse, and if the wind changes, you'll get stuck looking like that, remains unbroken this week. This is despite dire warnings from the Pilots Federation that following a ship-wide system update for those commanders who don't like walking on planets, just peering over the horizon as they fly past, all fire group settings would be rendered inoperative and would need recreating before entering the next res site and clicking the button, only to find out that it wasn't wired up to anything. With discretion being the better part of valour, their warning came as a preventative measure to help pilots avoid sticky combat situations and throw their proverbial mugs out of their prams when their ship didn't work as intended after the software update. However, thanks to some nifty work by the Pilots Federation's top code hamsters, the pending apocalypse and ensuing salty, salty tears were avoided. A spokesman for the Pilots Federation, who will remain unnamed but we're led to believe they love the colour pink, went on record with an off-the-record comment that the potential solution to all future shipboard glitches was to release a software update containing the warning, "contains all the bugs," in the hope that it would behave much the same as the existing one and said bugs would mysteriously be squished. A representative of Haxwing has submitted the line, "Thargoids will burn all the systems in the bubble even, as an alternative, in the hopes that it will inspire Tharg the Mighty to fall for some cunning reverse psychology and do exactly the opposite. There were hopes that the shipyard signs that say, "Cobra Mark IV is never going to be accessible to new commanders," fell into the same category of negatruths, but we suspect that this one is final. We of course remind everyone that there is definitely a free anaconda at Hutton. Raxler has not been found. Settlement defence plans aren't available anywhere. And of course, shipboard VR head displays don't work when you step planet side. After all, we live in hope.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Sir, we're live.
What are
now.
You thinking, Tharg?
Sir?
Oh, I'm just trying to understand Tharg's strategy on this latest campaign. We got hit so hard, and they're holding on in these systems like never before, but suddenly there's no new attacks, just clinging to their current positions.
Yes, but sir...
Obviously, the initial attacks were retaliation for Salvation's WMD attack. Does that mean Tharg rushed into this to send a message? Did emotion overrule judgment? Does that mean we made Tharg angry? Is there a way we can use that?
Sir!
What, Riley?
I've been trying to tell you that we're live.
Okay, Haxwing. We continue to push back Tharg's big offensive in the periphery with no new systems being attacked. We are now at 12 systems under incursion, down from 15 a week ago. 3 have a marginal presence, 1 moderate, 3 at significant, and the rest are at massive. Our current priorities for defense are Pleiades Sector HR-WD1-74, Muskadark Region PJ-P-B6-1, and Evangelus. You can see up-to-date mission priorities and current system status anytime at Thargoid.watch. 15 stations are still under repair and need supplies. Operation Ida is currently shipping to Titan's Daughter in Taygeta, and you can keep up-to-date as that changes at OperationIda.com. We're about to clear 3 more systems and get our list of incursions down to single digits, so there is light at the end of the tunnel. Stay alert and watch out for each other out there, Hackswing. Keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Button continues with its banging start to 3308, moving into another system, and this time, one we want to be in. But more on that story later. Barnard Star New Year's resolutions aside, the ending of an election and a civil war in the system has paid Hutton a small but valuable peace dividend in the form of 3 points of influence, leaving us on 38%. The latest in a long line of seemingly endless civil wars is just about to start, tying up 30% of system influence, but that's not so bad for Barnard Star, so take the opportunity to boost Hutton influence. However, this week's Float Like a Brick award goes to Ross 671, which has plummeted 20 points of influence in 10 days to 32%. The system has everything an influence-boosting pilot could want: large pads, lots of red sites awash with pirates, and a Wonders franchise. Breaking news is just coming in that the prolonged infrastructure failure in Wolf 359 has been relieved, and the system has already rebounded by a couple of points to put it back in the low 40s. In Wolf 562, the entry war against LP-734-32 Company was utterly successful. If, of course, you ignore the small wibble on day 2 when LP-734-32 Company demonstrated their levelling up policy by making it 1-1. In response, Hutton broke out the big guns and in a 3-day streak of wins brought home the bacon. A Hutton combat spokesman said,
"Well, Harry, they're not strong in the first half, but obviously we're over the moon. It's a dream come true, isn't it? Terrific. Can I go now?"
However, in most successful expansions, wars are like buses and come along in pairs. So just when you thought your multi-cannons had cooled, the war for second place starts tomorrow. Then, when we win, we need to boost Hutton influence through our asset, Vercaire Manufacturing Complex, no relation, on Planet 4A. "What do you mean 1626 light seconds is a pain? You're a trucker, aren't you? Work it enough and soon we'll have a nice Briolis station. Or two." At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have 7 systems above 60% and 1 just above 70. Well done for keeping systems under control in recent weeks that allowed us to plan and expand into Wolf 562. Keep exercising restraint over the other systems that get out of hand, and please don't run missions and dump data into systems that are above 60%, and keep monitoring the usual channels for more expansion news. Priorities this week are: if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Ross 671. If you want to shoot something, win the war in Wolf 562 against Wolf 562 PLC.
"3308 is well underway, and there are still more community-led events that you could shake a whole bundle of sticks at. Tonight we have details of the following events: the Comfy Cannon Cruise, All the Clouds in the Sky, the Magellan Experience, the Nexus Exploration, the Canon Organic Scanning Challenge, New Year, New Discoveries 3308, Celebration of Early Astronomy 4, a crate carrier survey of Eta Carina, and a mysterious message from the Bandit Racing League. Why not investigate any that tickle your fancy? Stop that sniggering, dead meat. If you're interested, then as usual, links for information will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Comfy Cannon Cruise has been part of our weekly news for a long time now, but all good things must come to an end, apparently, and although the expedition is officially over, Commander Mephisto has stayed around long enough to send us the last message from the deck of the Fleet Carrier Consu. And although it's fairly long, it's his last report, so I think we can forgive him.
The Comfy Cannon Cruise concluded on the 8th of January 3308 on its 300th day. Cannon Research had organised a show of the fleet carriers in system surrounding Verati to greet the cruise's carrier Consu, as well as to make space in orbit around planet A6, Eureka. Commanders gather that Commander Illyrium's fleet carrier Angel Share and HIP 101166 for the mass jump, which Commander Mal for the win coordinated perfectly, even if his own onboard computer was playing tricks on him. 26 commanders jumped to Verati in unison, while Consu was preparing her own jump into orbit of Eureka. When she arrived at her last jump of the trip around the Milky Way, she was happily greeted by the event participants that made it in time. Then the crowd dispersed with a good few meeting in Thompson Dock for group photos and drinks at the bar. While partying away out of the blue, Commander G-Man14 admitted he had eaten their pet mollusk Molly. To his credit, he had promised it beforehand in a poem written long ago back in May 3307. Dear Molly, our mollusk divine, pairs well with a rare Saxon wine. Genuflect and all hail this delectable snail, dipped in warm thirtis cream laced with thyme. Things got out of hand when the innocent bystanders were pestered and after the last remaining revellers dispersed. Consu was called home a few times on the day and many farewells as well as O7s were exchanged, but a few passengers stayed on board to support phase 3 of the Colonia Bridge project. We did our part to reach hashtag tier 5 for Alcor. The future will hold more adventures for the passengers of the Starship Consu.
I've kept these reports in a neutral and informative tone until now, but I want to include a personal note at the end. I'm incredibly thankful for everyone that participated or interacted with the Comfy Cannon Cruise in any way. It was an awesome experience for me that I will always remember fondly. Especially, I have to thank my passengers who had faith they wouldn't be stranded along the way, and that made the soul of the cruise, with Consu at its heart. Commander Illyrium provided refueling services along the way, spending billions of credits and hours on end to keep his fellow passengers going, and thus made our way considerably swifter. Commander G-Man 14, Mind Like Mad, Commander Seta 6, and Van Hoof scouted out interesting points of interest along the route. My officers, Commanders Tomoko 2K and Coriandor, inspired the crews on our trip to Rackham's Peak and made up the core crew. Commander English documented a pantheon of mollusk gods and founded a religion on it. There were many more, and I thank every single one. Special thanks go to Commander Mal for the win for coordinating the crowning event, and thanks also to anyone that participated in the memorable moment. We stood on the shoulders of giants, and I want to thank them as well. Cannon Research gathered all that information about the Milky Way we experienced, put into a challenge by Commander LCU No Fool Like One, so that we had a route to follow. Commander Mark Xanthius showed the Cannon Challenge can be completed, which made me want to see all that too. The information systems used for planning were invaluable, especially the Spanish fleet carrier router EDSM, which also logged the expedition and got new passengers in, and the underlying EDDN. Last but not least, probably no one would have joined without content creators advertising the cruise. I also thank Hutton Orbital Radio for reporting on our journey and for enduring my ramblings about mollusks. Thanks to everyone that was interested in our endeavour, shared or liked anything about it. The whole community of independent pilots is a treasure of kindness and knowledge, and we are all in debt to the Pilots Federation and their founder, Lord Braben, for laying a whole galaxy at our feet for the taking. See you out there in the black. Fly dangerous and for the muck. 07.
Although leading the expedition All the Clouds in the Sky, Commander Diluvian is well used to heading out on his own, as he explains. Expedition Day 118, 9th of January 3308 at 1725 Zulu ST LHL-31Z Drake Class Zodiac entered BD plus 66 1066 system. Amazing view, although nothing spectacular to visit here. Again, here we are on the roof of the galaxy, 1,645 light years above the Milky Way's plane. Zodiac entered and parked next to a massive Class O giant, almost 100 times the solar mass. The only different body in the system is a black hole, 91,182 light seconds away from the main star. I departed from the Zodiac in my trusty DBX Pilgrim for a small reconnaissance, especially interested in how the black hole looks like, that high above the galaxy plane. And then I saw her, the Cat's Eye Nebula, the closest that anyone could get to it. It is amazing how nicely the black hole was distorting the view of the galaxy below, as well as the mysterious Cat's Eye. Expedition Day 120. The sky does not change. Big disappointments, though not such a big surprise. I did not think that supercruising into the nebula would be possible from here, but my crazy nature made me believe that I could take a better, closer picture of it. After 11 light years cruising to no avail, I decided to turn around and cruise back to the Zodiac. Looks like I should be back tomorrow. Just 5.5 light years more to go. And then we'll quickly make some new plans and we'll be on our way to the next waypoint and objective. Do not know which one yet. The Magellan Experience has the last waypoint in sight, but not the end of the adventure. Commander Richard Fluranis M has this to say.
We are two waypoints from Magellan's Star. Currently, the expedition is completing its tour through the Lyra Song region with style by doing a weekly meetup at our designated point of interest, Miami Sunrise. 25 commanders checked in with each other and enjoyed the stunning view of the close orbit toasty brown dwarf while having fun. Unfortunately, we lost a couple of guardian spheres in the excitement, but we had our fun as seen in our video. See the link. This Saturday, January the 15th, we have a mining event scheduled to reload our carriers with tritium, which hopefully will give us enough fuel to non-stop plot through Hawkins Gap for the remainder of the expedition. What is exciting is that we're only 45 days in, and we have 68 remaining. Hey, there is still plenty to be seen in the experience.
The Nexus Exploration, the exobiology-focused long-range expedition, has been making good progress. And we've received an update from Commander Omega Megalith, but it's a little difficult to hear him since the poor commander has contracted mods despite his mask, but we'll do our best. We have made it to what we believe is manifest destiny, but there is no tourist beacon. Instead, we found Thargoid methane floating in space and crystal structures that were biological in nature, We will be departing tonight to head towards the DSSA carrier located in the Errant Marches en route to Star 1. All 7 commanders and happy exploring for a new year.
Oh, there was acting in there. Well done. Carry on.
If you're proud of your Provenator, not because of its size, but because of what you can do with it and just how fast you can get to a conclusion, Canon Interstellar in the person of LCU No Fool Like One would very much like you to send a quick pic, as he tells us.
This is your last chance to have a go at the Canon Organic Scanning Challenge and win lovely prizes of Thargoid sample flasks and the Canon coin. The competition will be closed at midnight UTC on the 14th of January. All you need to do is video yourself scanning 9 different life forms on Tukane Sector AF-AD714E. In as short as time as possible, and then sell them at the nearest Vista Genomics. All of the entries so far can be improved on, so you have every chance of winning something if you enter. Go to canon.fyi/challenge to find out how to enter.
Repeat, the closing date is midnight UTC on Friday, 14th of January, so get your Probinator out. It might not be big, but it is clever. New Year, New Discoveries 3308, which offers armchair explorers a fleet carrier equipped trip to the core and back, like a socially distanced fun run, is taking a while to get all of the participants over the start line. Commanders Arborik and Luna Sidara sent this message after firing yet another starting cannon.
We've just finished up our second mass jump and are eagerly awaiting the 6 remaining ones. We are making our way slowly to the core, but with well over 1 billion credits of data already sold, we anticipate some wonderful sights along the way. Don't miss out, it's still not too late to join us.
The history books tell us that in the 21st century, astronomers only knew in detail about very few stars, and writers of science fiction were free to guess about what distant stars and planets look like. Commander Kezika's expedition started on Saturday, and it's not too late to join them and see just how accurate those ancient ancestors of ours were. She says, celebration of early astronomy 4 is underway and en route to the Crab Nebula and the real pulsar there. Sign-ups for the late registrants are still open. Find out more at theexpedition.info. Now news of a new expedition. Commander, I am Nick Mann, captain of the fleet carrier FGS Glorious Walls, is organising a trip that is called a Crate Carrier Survey of Eta Carina. And although it's setting off today, it's not too late to sign up, as I am Nick Mann explains. Commanders, explorers, believers and every adventurous in between, Flat Galaxy Society and Alliance Exploration Corps invite you on a mission to explore the easterly reaches of the Milky Way on a waypoint route that even a top 1% cruise line captain couldn't fail to be impressed with. On our 4-week tour of the waypoints, you'll be visiting the likes of planetary nebulas, stellar views, Statue of Liberty and ETA Carina nebulas, mysterious green gas giants and abandoned settlements deep in the black. And finally this week, we've been given exclusive notification of an upcoming event from our friend, Commander DB Exterminator.
Greetings, Commanders. I'm pleased to announce the return of the Bandit Racing League. The race will be on the 29th of January at 2000 UTC. More details to follow as the date draws nearer. And remember to tune in here, as you will be among the first to hear all the updates.
A little shout out. The new logo for the Bandit Racing League was created at the behest of Commander Funky Abigail by a very talented artist friend of hers. The galaxy offers almost limitless opportunities, and our inventive and attentive, not to mention retentive, community takes advantage of as many as they possibly can. Be sure to check these events, and if you think we've missed any, or you're organising one yourself, please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com.